Okay, so a couple of things we'll get out of the way really fast. A quick little leaf note. I want to let you know that Zach Bogosian is going to join us just after the bottom of the hour break. Alex Kerfoot, not at the regular practice with the Maple Leafs, did skate before with Joe Thornton. Nick Petan called up. He played with Spezza and Boyd. Wayne Simmons playing with himself with some John Tavares. Also, the Buffalo, New York Islanders game, by the way, tonight has been rescheduled. So we're looking at 9 games tonight. Now we are down to 8, but one of them features the debut of Patrick Laine with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Welcome to Hockey Central, Jeff Merrick, alongside Anthony Stewart and Justin Bourne. And guys, to sort of before we give way here to Sean Brown, is going to be stopping by to talk about the Edmonton Oilers, former NHL defenseman, now Sportsnet Oilers analyst. Let's just finish up for now, because I'm sure the saga will continue. The story we talked about yesterday with Tony DeAngelo clears waivers. Rangers spoke. Everybody had their thoughts on it. Someone had, as they would say, a good whack at the Tony DeAngelo pinata yesterday. Borny, we'll start with you. Not claimed, and the Rangers say he's played his last game with the team.
You know, this seemed like the inevitable outcome. It is still stunning to see an entire league say, we know what this guy can do, we know he can score, we know he was 11th in Norris voting, right-handed, 25 years old, don't want him. You know, it is stunning to see that happen, but that speaks to something bigger going on here, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he's able to sort his way out, what they decide to do with him next.
Yeah, you want to close out a quick thought on Tony DeAngelo, Stewie, before we move
on?
Yeah,
and I had the fake Sean Avery message me on Twitter yesterday, and Borny actually blocked him, so I know he probably wasn't the smartest tool in the shed, and this has nothing to do with politics, right? Again, everyone has their different political opinions, and there's many Trump supporters within the NHL, but this is how you act within the social confines of a dressing room. There is a culture, there is a way to act, and when you're at work, you have to act a certain way amongst your teammates. So I'm sure it had something to do with that, not due to his politics or his conservative beliefs.
Okay, so listen, this story is going to carry on. Now the Rangers, I'm sure, will effort to try to trade the defenseman. Will have to, I would assume, take a significant amount of that change that he is owed. It's 4.8 this year and next year. Might be headed to the 1/3 buyout in the offseason since he's a under 26 player. We shall see. Meanwhile, a couple of things we should probably get to. Patrick Laine makes his debut tonight for the Carolina Hurricanes. Tonight's a pretty interesting night around the NHL. We'll see the Flames and Jets one more time. We'll see the Canucks and the Habs one more time. And at 7 o'clock Eastern, it's the Dallas Stars and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Texier and Atkinson will be Patrick Laine's line mates, Justin. What are the expectations of the 22-year-old starting tonight?
Well, I think there's going to be the expectation from Torts that this is a player who is more well-rounded than he was a couple years ago, right? That's kind of the way you have to play for Tortorella, and we've seen how it goes when you don't play his way. But I think once you establish that, you know, Laine is a guy who takes things seriously on the other side of the puck, the expectations that he's someone who's freed up enough to just score. Like, you know, do the baseline defensive work to keep your coach happy, but then just score. Put him in positions to score. Make the power play about him. That should be the whole Columbus power play, is run it through the Alex Ovechkin spot and Patrick Laine, and just, it's going to be better than whatever it is they've been doing since. So we'll see when they go from there. I like that plan better.
Quick thoughts before we get to
it. My prediction, goals. And again, any way you dice it, he's got 140 goals in 360 games, 306 games. So he's almost at half a goal a game. And this guy can put the puck in the net. So again, there was some deficiencies in his games the year before last, where he was at minus 24. But again, he's cleaned it up. He's a good 200-foot player right now. But I'm looking forward to goals, and more goals. And did I say goals? Because he'll be scoring more goals.
Speaking of goals, Oilers score them. Sens can't help but find that red light going off behind whatever netminder they end up dressing and or pulling. Sean Brown joins us, former NHL defenseman, now Sportsnet analyst for the Edmonton Oilers. He joins us now and makes his debut on this program. Sean, first of all, welcome aboard. Welcome aboard Oilers coverage as well. Would you begin with an Oilers conversation? Because the easy one is, hey, Sean, give us your 10-cent tour of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and we're going to get there. But what, I'm curious, as an ex-player, maybe it's a defenseman, maybe, who knows, what is most intriguing to you about the Oilers this season?
Well, I mean, you can't help but talk about Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Obviously, you know, we see the points and what they're doing right now. And it's exciting. And it was an exciting, you know, going into the season to see where these guys can take them right now as you watch. For me, it's obviously their defense and their goaltending. You know, Connor McDavid and Draisaitl are going to do what they're going to do. They're going to create opportunities because of their skill, and then it's the supporting cast around them right now that seems to be what Dave Tippett seems to be trying to figure out, how to get those role players contributing in some way.
Justin.
Just wondering your thoughts on the back end right now, Sean. You know, obviously missing Oscar Klefbom hurts them a great deal. You know, and they had a couple of pretty good young players that were toggled out of the lineup earlier on. What have you made of the defense group for the Oilers so far this season?
Well, I think it was exciting, number one, bringing in Tyson Barrie, obviously, with his background and what he's done. I think he's coming to the Oilers kind of in a crossroad of his career right now, not having maybe the season he was hoping to have there in Toronto. I think bringing him here on a 1-year deal has been good for the Oilers. I think he's probably played his best games of late right now. As a whole, I think the Oilers, you know, are struggling with the absence of Klefbom. I didn't realize, and maybe the organization and maybe as fans, you know, the impact that Klefbom had. He ate up a lot of minutes and played in a lot of special situations. And, you know, that's the one thing the Oilers are missing right now, is that defenseman that can kind of stabilize the game as far as when you're kind of back on your heels. Every team has them. They're hard to get, whether it's, you know, Weber, Hagman in Tampa Bay. But just having that defenseman that can just go out there when the other team has momentum and just kind of ease it down with some good outlet passes, you know, some clean breakouts. They're kind of missing that guy right now. But it's been nice, though, to have Barry, you know, slowly find his game. I think Darnell Nurse is, you know, taking steps, but I think he's playing a lot of minutes too. And I think if Barry can, you know, find his game, continue with that, then he can start to eat up a few minutes that will kind of take away some of the minutes that Darnell Nurse is playing. And now he's probably playing more quality minutes and more quality shifts. So the other guy I look to that needs to start to find his game too is Adam Larson. Right now, I think he's kind of struggled a little bit right now, and they're going to have to count on him to play a big role to continue eating up some of those minutes too.
You know, this, and we're with Sean Brown, Oilers analyst on Sportsnet. You know, one of the things that's curious when I look at Tyson Barrie, and it's interesting that you bring him up early in the conversation. You know, for the longest time, you know, go back to the Colorado days, he was considered one of the more dynamic blue liners in the NHL. Certainly was outstanding on the power play. But, you know, I wonder now, Sean, and you played the position, I wonder now, considering, you know, every night we're watching Cale Makar, you know, carve apart teams. We're watching Miro Heiskanen do the same. We're watching Quinn Hughes do the same. Like, there's this, like, steady stream of elite-level, high-skill, high-flying, you know, working your edges like crazy defensemen. Like, it almost makes Tyson Barrie look like he's from like a different generation. Just like the evolution of that position, like it has happened so quickly, and there are now so many players like this in the NHL. It almost, you know, dare I say, makes Tyson Barrie kind of look plain when you put him up against some of these guys.
Yeah, it's funny. I was on the ice once with Tyson Barrie, and I have a young son, and I work with kids in the local area, and so I'm always curious to talk to guys about what they're doing. And we talked exactly about that, and Makar's name came up. And you know, you watch kids and the way they all the skill development coaches and all the extra work that these kids are putting in there, they're incredible. Yeah, like you said, on their edges. I think Barrie, he's, you know, the way he's come in the league and how skilled he was in Colorado, I think that he's trying to find that. I think confidence is a lot of that. I mean, sure. I think anyone that's played the game, there's times when you're feeling it and you got confidence, you can, makes a big difference. And when you don't, it feels like you're pulling a Zamboni and maybe using someone else's stick and skates, and it's a horrible feeling. So I'm thinking, honestly, with you know, with the way he's played in the last couple games, hopefully, you know, he'll get some of that confidence back, some of that swagger, because there is times that I think, you know, and he would probably admit it too, that he wasn't feeling overly confident on the ice. But I see him handling the puck more. I see him jumping up in the play a little bit more. And, you know, they brought him in here for a reason, is because he has that ability, and he's shown that he's had that ability. And it's important too, when you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, for as skilled as those guys are, you can't have them, you know, burning the tank, you know, defending all the time. You have to have those guys on your back end that can give them the puck at the right times, you know, because you need them playing offense. You don't need them playing defense. So, but there's no question that the guys are more skilled now.
We saw Jesse Puljujärvi take Zach Cassian's spot on the top line, and they've been saying he's been playing pretty well, but he's yet to score a goal. How have you assessed his game so far since being promoted up there, and what is his expectations this year playing with Connor McDavid and RNH so far?
Well, I think he's done well. He's done a great job coming in. I think he's had the advantage, obviously, playing over in Europe before he came here, which is, I think, really helped him. But he's playing with confidence, and, you know, confidence is everything, like I talked about. He's a big guy. He skates well. And if you're going to play on Connor McDavid's line, you obviously have to skate. And he's been skating. You got to be a guy that's going to be able to get in there on the forecheck, protect the puck. He's getting better at that. I think at the beginning of the season, it was a little bit of an adjustment, you know, when you're playing over in Europe, although it's a great league or a good league. It's not the NHL. So when you're protecting the puck against an NHL player, they have, you know, they're a little better at defending, and I think he's gotten more comfortable with that. So I like where he's at right now. I think, you know, Cassian for me is a guy that, you know, I liked up there. And when Cassian is banging and playing to the identity that Cassian needs to play with, I would like him back in that spot because he's uncomfortable to play against. He's big, he's strong. He has that dimension that, you know, there are just not a lot of guys in the NHL have that anymore. And then at the end of the day, when he does have the puck, he has the skill to make plays with McDavid. So if they can get him going, and with Puljujärvi getting some confidence, now you start to get a little bit of depth throughout your lineup, because right now they're kind of a 1-2 line, and the third and fourth lines are trying to figure out, you know, where they kind of fit in and how to create a little bit of energy and have an identity.
What do you expect to happen in the Oilers' crease this season? You know, it was a question mark going into the year. Is it just going to kind of be just wait for one of the guys to take the reins and be the guy?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone, obviously injuries are a part of the game, and no one expected Smith to get injured, and it is what it is, and Koskinen's kind of had the ball and has been kind of running with it. To be honest with you, there's defensively, I think there's, you know, there's times that they're struggling. There's times that they're, you know, they're doing things well. But, you know, when your team is struggling defensively, it obviously looks bad on the goalie because, you know, he's the guy that has to make the final save. And, you know, there's probably some goals that he'd have like to have back. But I think he's given them a chance for the most part. He, you know, you can't expect your goalie to be making multiple saves. You know, so I think, you know, it's been a lot for him. It was nice for Stuart Skinner to get in there and get a win. That's a nice rallying point for the team. But until Smith comes back, he's going to be the guy. But I think as the Oilers get more confident, I think, you know, putting a couple games together here, getting a couple wins, they should start to feel good about themselves. But I, you know, at the end of it, right now, to me watching, it's just a little too easy to get to the net. And I don't think teams are quite uncomfortable enough in front of the Oilers net where they have to make it a little bit tougher for guys to get there. I think they're getting one chance, multiple chances, and it's making it tough. And some of those goals are getting in, and he's just like anyone else. You start to, you know, lose your confidence. And then when you start losing in this game at the NHL level, I mean, everything's magnified.
With Sean Brown, Oilers analyst, former NHL defenseman. Okay, the McDavid question. what was that line that Mike Tyson used to say? Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Like, I understand, like, everyone's got a plan. Like, okay, here's how we're going to contain McDavid. Here's how we're going to try to shut down Connor McDavid. What do you do against that? Like, flat out. Like, there's no clever question to this, Sean. Like, what do you do against McDavid? Possibly. What could you do?
Well, that's amazing that, you know, this guy is able to do the things that he does in today's game where there's no secrets. I mean, you know, everything is on video. Everyone knows what he's going to do. You're brought in. There's film, you know. So for him to be able to do and play that way in today's game is just incredible. So you're not going to – he's going to get his chances just because he's just that good. Yeah. You just got to hope that the other guys, or you're defending him as a team of five, you know, you're coming back, trying to take his time and space away. But, you know, it's tough when someone has the skill set that he does. You try and take away, you try to gap up and take away his speed maybe. Well, now he's got all that ice behind you, and we've seen what he does. He just blows by you, you know, you sag in a little bit. Well, we see what he does. He comes in 100 miles an hour and stops and uses you as a screen and fires one by the goalie. So, I mean, that's what makes those guys so unique. I mean, you got to be aware of when he's on the ice, and you got to have everybody coming back, you know, because his vision now, that's like, you know, I've watched him the last couple games here, and he just finds guys, and I can't even find them on the TV, and he's finding them in game-like situations. So it's incredible. He plays the game as if we watch it, you know, 200 feet in the air. So what a gift he is. I mean, we're so lucky to have him. I was actually talking to my brother, because being from Ontario and a Leaf fan, everyone, the debate between Matthews and McDavid, and I texted him after the second Leaf game there, and even he was like, yeah, he's better right now. So it's debatable, but I mean, it was so nice to watch all that skill on the ice, and you could see with the Leafs, you know, what they can do in the offensive zone, especially with their defensemen. They start scissoring and start activating. It's you know, it's pretty to watch in, you know, these two teams go at it.
Lost in the Draisaitl and McDavid conversation, the one player I think for the Edmonton Oilers is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who's got 10 points in 11 games this season and was almost at a point a game clip last year. Do you think he gets enough respect in the media and enough respect around the league?
I don't know throughout the whole league. I mean, I think they definitely were aware and thankful we have him on our team. I mean, I've seen him. I was involved with the Oil Kings and been around him for a while, and he's just a very low key kind of guy. He's not he's not going to wow you with a bunch of quotes. I don't think he's looking to be the center attention. He just quietly goes about his business, and he's been a solid Oiler since he's got here. So maybe through the league, because of how quiet he is and how well McDavid and Draisaitl have done, he does quietly kind of go through the radar. But he's definitely a guy that, you know, you need him to be contributing, and he is, you know, and he's part of the driving force of why the Oilers are in the situation they're in, you know. So, he's been one of the – it's been tough for him with all the different management and coaching staff. I'm sure it's probably been a little bit of a grind, but it's good to see him having success. And I think throughout, you know, his career, he'll just be kind of one of those quiet guys, just kind of the way he handles them and the way he the way he handles himself and the way he plays.
Sean, the last Edmonton-Ottawa game was, I don't even know how to describe it.
Like 80s.
It was so 80s. Yeah. What do you make of the Senators upon that viewing? Like, should we expect to see something different from that tonight? Because I can't see them defending McDavid and crew much better than that, but I sure hope they can.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nightmare, obviously, for the coaching staff, and great for us as fans to watch. There was lots of offense and lots of breakdowns and mistakes, which made it entertaining. You know, it's tough. I mean, especially when you give, you know, the Oilers are starting to get hot on the power play, and you give them that many power plays with those two guys on the ice, it's definitely not gonna work out well for you. So, you know what, DJ Smith's obviously a good coach. I'm sure that, you know, he's rattled the cage after that game, and you know, it's these guys are professionals. They have pride. You know, sometimes a wounded animal is a dangerous one. So I imagine they're going to come out with some desperation. The Oilers, it's kind of good timing for them. You know, they got back-to-back wins. I'm sure with all those goals, it was, you know, lots of guys got a little bit of sugar and some opportunity. So getting back to the confidence thing, hopefully, as an Oiler fan, they're able to build off of that. But it's not going to be easy. I don't know who they're going to start in Ottawa, but, you know, they're going to come out, you know, ready to go. And that game, by no means, I mean, you could see, even though as well as the Oilers started the game off, you know, there was a little bit of a pushback there from Ottawa, where it had me kind of thinking, oh, this isn't over. This is going to go down to the end here. So, you know, they're two teams just not quite where they want to be defensively. But, you know, it should be, who knows what to expect, but it's definitely entertaining for us to watch.
Sean, before we let you go, I want to ask you a question about you. And you and Stewie share a coach. You had Larry Mavity in Belleville. He had him in Kingston. I'm curious about your junior days, and I want to ask your thoughts about playing junior hockey in the OHL. I was at University of Guelph when you were playing for Belleville, and that was in the Jeff O'Neill, Todd Bertuzzi era of the Guelph Storm. And I would love it when Belleville would come in, because I mean, your squad was awesome with Dan Cleary and Mills and Richard Park and Brian Secord. What do you remember from those teams, that era, and playing for the now late, great Larry Mavity?
Yeah, well, I mean, I owe everything to Mav. I was very lucky and fortunate that Mav took a liking to me. My career was a little bit, it started off kind of slow, and it was back in a time and with a coach that appreciated guys that, you know, competed, and it was at a time where there was a little bit more fighting than what there was or is today. And, you know, Mav gave me every opportunity to play, and I just, you know, can't thank that guy enough. He's, you know, he's a legend, and, you know, in hockey and for the things that he's, you know, done for, you know, not only Anthony and I, but a number of different guys. So it was the time of my life. I mean, you go there as a young teenager, and, you know, in the blink of an eye, it's over. And they have, you know, Mav had such an impact on all of us, the way he treated us. And he was an honest guy. I mean, if you went out there and just, you know, played a hard, gritty, in-your-face game, Mav would honor that, and you got ice time. And if you didn't, Well, you just didn't get ice time. So we had good teams back then. I do remember those rivalries with Bertuzzi and O'Neill. It was actually funny. I was sitting with my son. We were talking about concussions, and my son asked me if I had any, and I'm like, I don't think I had any that I can think of. And my dad was like, you don't remember when Bertuzzi knocked you out? And I'm like, no, I don't. So, you know, so I guess some of those battles I remember, and apparently some of them I don't, but they were fun. It was, you know, it was great. But Mav and Belleville, you know, I still talk to the family that I lived with back in junior, probably once, you know, every 2 weeks. And,
oh, wow.
You know, so Mav, you know, Mav had not only an impact on us, but obviously the community. And I'm sure Anthony would say the same thing of what a legend, what a great guy. The stories will go on. It was sad to see, you know, that, you know, Mav has passed on, but he won't be forgotten.
Stewie, you told me once that Larry Mavity never let you watch Slapshot on the bus.
Nope. That was the one movie we could not watch. We'd always try to put it on. He'd be like, turn it off.
Sean, did he ever let you watch Slapshot on the bus back in the, I guess this would have been mid-90s.
Yeah, no, we never watched it either. But I didn't, like, there was always talk that Mav was in it. So
he was.
It was a rumor. I don't know, Anthony.
Like, it's not a rumor.
Know, was he or...
Okay,
so, I don't know. It was a rumor. It was like an urban legend. So that's the reason why he didn't let us watch it, because he didn't want us knowing that he was in it for some reason.
My buddy, Jonathan Jackson, who wrote the book on Slapshot, did a screen cap, and I sent it to Stewie to prove. Now, Stewie, that's Larry Mavity, right? With Reggie Dunlop behind the net?
Yeah, that's him. It is him, yeah.
That's Mav. That's in the Hanrahan scene.
Yeah.
There's Mavity going behind the nets.
Yeah. Yeah, he just had that father figure to him where, you know, he was a nice guy. You felt comfortable around him, but he had that, gruff voice, and that, you know, you knew where when he meant business. And if you were told not to watch Slapshot, you weren't watching Slapshot.
He was tough when he played, Sean. Oh boy, he was raw bone tough. This has been a lot of fun. Sean, continued success. Looking forward to having you back on the program to share your expertise. We really appreciate it.
Okay, guys, have a great day.
There he is, Sean Brown, former defenseman in the NHL with most notably the Edmonton Oilers, but also had to go around with the Vancouver Canucks briefly, and previous to that, the Boston Bruins and New Jersey Devils. Zach Bogosian still to come here on today's edition of Hockey Central. Quick pause. Stay tuned. In about 10 or 15 minutes' time, Maple Leafs defenseman Zach Bogosian is with us here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We're back in a moment. Welcome back to the program. So to come in a couple of moments, we'll talk to Zach Bogosian, Maple Leafs defenseman, Jeff Merrick alongside Anthony Stewart and Justin Bourne. Last night, a couple things to go over. We'll get to the Calgary-Winnipeg game here in a couple of moments if we have time. But Montreal, once again, reminded the Vancouver Canucks where they belong. What a... I don't know, dominant performance might be too strong, but what a performance, Justin, by the Montreal Canadiens last night. We're getting pretty used to Nick Suzuki having big games. Arturi Lehkonen was outstanding. Shorthanded goal, sixth shorthanded goal for the Montreal Canadiens so far this season. That's remarkable. Corey Perry with his 800th point. A really nifty move in tight between the hash marks. What did you take away, Justin, from the 6-2 victory Habs over Canucks?
It's just a depth thing for me. Like, Montreal just keeps coming line after line. And, you know, that, you know, you look at that team and you say, can they match up with the top teams offensively? And it's like, it doesn't really matter if every single line is going to be so effective. You know, the group that you would consider maybe one of their fourth line often plays the second most minutes just based on who they want them to go against. So it's a deep hockey club, the Canadiens, and in a division like this where there's no real elite teams. I mean, this is the team that's going to win a lot of hockey games this year.
And they have 6-1-2 so far, Stewie. What do you take away from last night?
Yeah, I got to use my favorite gif. It's Walter White from Breaking Bad throwing a pizza on the roof, and that was Vancouver last night, just throwing pizza after pizza. But that's what the Canadians make you do. They just come at you in waves, and they're just almost like water bugs where they're just skating. So I'd love to see what their fitness regimen was in the offseason, because these guys are just flying up and down the ice. Corey Perry looked pretty quick, believe that or not. So I just love it because they're coming in layers, they're forechecking, they're relentless. They're scoring their power play goals. They're getting a lot of shorthanded goals, and they have the goaltending. They have the trident, big 3-4 defensemen. So they're a team that's built to last here, and it's very exciting hockey. I'm all for it, and I'm not surprised that the Montreal Canadiens are considered the best team in the North Division.
And Tyler Toffoli scores against Vancouver again. 7 goals on the season so far from the former Vancouver and LA.
Figure it out, Canucks. How do you let him go?
Where'd he play his minor hockey against, Stewie?
North York Canadiens.
Look at you. Also,
do you know who his coach was? Do you know who his coach was?
No, I don't. Who was his coach then?
It was Jerry D's brother, Kevin Donahue.
Oh, no way, Kevin. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Tonight, they'll run back these two teams. It's Habs and Canucks, 7 o'clock Eastern, Sportsnet Pacific. Shea Weber placing game number 1,000. From a player's point of view, Stewie, what does 1,000 mean to players?
It means you get a nice, fancy silver stick, but that is the... You know, that's the measuring bar, measuring stick for a great NHL career. And for me, I think Shea Weber's in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and just seeing what he'd done at the junior level coming in as a second round guy and having a great career, signing the big, you know, contract, and just seeing that shot. And there's certain guys now that, you know, they take lanes away and that shot's not deadly anymore, but that shot is deadly. It's either going in or it's breaking someone's ankle. So that's like Ovechkin and Stamkos, that shot that he has from that flank. It's a weapon. So to see him now, when he got traded to Montreal, people are saying, he's on his way out and he's just going to go there, collect a paycheck. He's still playing hockey at a high level. And I've seen some recent mock rosters for the Canadian Olympic team, and they don't have him on that. I don't know. I want to know what you guys are having for breakfast or putting in your pipe, because he deserves to be on that team. He's a great player. I still think he has great hockey left in him, and he's one of the leaders of this Montreal Canadiens team.
Shea Weber, Borny.
Yeah, you know, I had the luxury of getting to skate with him a little bit in the Kelowna in the summers, and he's one of the guys that made me be like, I'm pretty good at hockey, but that's different, you know? Like, he just seeing a guy at that size and the way he shoots the puck and all that, it's he's a different level. So great for the Canadians that he's bounced back and looked like a guy who can be the type of number one D-man, that pillar you need on teams that win Stanley Cups. It's, you know, if you go through the years of teams that have won Stanley Cups, they all kind of have that guy. Yeah. You know, good to see him look like that guy for Montreal so far this year.
But before we get to break here quickly, you're the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, Montreal has stuck it to you so far this season. Montreal's played some of their best hockey against the Vancouver Canucks. Anything change in that room? Like, they're running the game back again tonight. Like, you're the Vancouver Canucks. What are you thinking for tonight?
Boy, I don't know. You know, I think there is a matter of getting prepared for your opponent and just knowing what to better expect. And as I mentioned, with Montreal's depth, you know, this is a Vancouver team that's one of their weaknesses. They don't have that depth, which means that their top guys got to score. So you basically got to go to Besser and Pedersen and Hughes and Horvat and say, you guys have to be better than their best guys. That's the only way we're going to hang with these guys.
All right, so we'll watch for that tonight. It is the Montreal Canadiens and the Vancouver Canucks one more time. Also, if you missed at the top of the show, Patrick Laine makes his debut as a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets as they face off against the Dallas Stars. Eyes on that. He'll play on the line, by the way, with Cam Atkinson and in the middle Alexandre Texier, who's playing center now for the Columbus Blue Jackets. On that, we'll hit a break. Other side of it, you'll hear from Zach Bogosian, Toronto Maple Leafs defenseman. Hockey Central continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome back to the program. We're here Monday to Friday, starting at noon. It's Hockey Central with yours truly, Jeff Merrick, alongside Anthony Stewart and Justin Bourne. Do you want to be featured on Hockey Night in Canada? We're giving you the chance to be part of the Rogers Hometown Hockey Viewing Party this Saturday, where you can virtually meet Ron and Tara and the NHL alumni as well, a member of. Tune in Thursday for your chance to win. You can also enter for the chance to win in our Instagram or in Rogers Hometown Hockey section of the Sportsnet app. Find details at sportsnet.ca/590. I am curious, as we're standing by for Zach Bogosian, Toronto Maple Leafs defenseman, alongside Anthony Stewart and Justin Bourne, how the experience is. I'm always curious about new players that join the Maple Leafs after having played around the NHL on a number of different teams. Everybody says they know what they're in for and what to expect. And I wonder if the reality of it meets the expectations. Like, Borny, what do you think it's like being a Maple Leaf player walking around town?
Well, a little bit different these days because you don't get to be out and about with the adoring throngs. But yeah. No, it obviously just a different universe. I think the biggest thing is just media, though, right? The scrutiny over the most minute lineup change or ice time fluctuation or something. You got to answer way too many questions for the most basic of things.
What do you think, Stewie? What do you think it'd be like to play for this team?
Well, and talking to some buddies, they obviously hear their stories about the media and stuff. But the one thing they always say is just how professional it is. And just all those little details with getting the family situated and coming and tickets and those little details that some teams in the National Hockey League take for granted. The Maple Leafs, from a professional standpoint, it's the most professional organization in the National Hockey League. So I think you have to be there because there could be a lot of cons and the media is a big part of that. But every guy that I've talked to that's played for the Maple Leafs, they're like, they can't believe how professional it is.
Okay. Let's see what Zach Bogosian thinks. Maple Leafs defenseman joins us now. Zach, first of all, thanks so much for stopping by today. Much appreciated. We were just talking about and sort of, you know, speculating on what it must be like to be a professional hockey player in the, you know, the media mecca of the world for hockey. I would imagine you had some idea of what it was like, and then the reality hits you. Zach Bogosian, what's it been like being a Maple Leaf so far?
Oh, it's been great. Thanks for having me. Nice, thanks for the introduction. It's been great. I mean,
you know, it's first class all the way. The way we get treated, you know, on and off the ice, at the rink, at home, it's, you know, it's second to none. So it's been great. It's been an awesome transition period. Obviously, with the pandemic, things are obviously difficult and different, but the guys within the organization and, you know, all the men and women, they've done a great job.
Do you not snicker, though, Zach, when you see how, you know, we cover the minutiae of this team, lineup changes, who's in, out, ooh, he's a left-hand shot, he doesn't belong there. Like, when you look at, like, how granular we get with the coverage, do you not at least, you know, snicker, if not shake your head?
Don't take this the wrong way, but I don't really pay attention to it too much. I don't know what you guys say, and that's not out of disrespect. It's just that's kind of how I've always been. But I'm focused on just trying to get better every day. And, you know, it's fun for people to talk about lineup changes and matchups and stuff like that, but it's not really something that I personally pay attention to too much.
Stewie.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Bogle. How's it going? How are you?
Good, Stewie. Good. How you doing?
That's good. That's good. So I wanted to ask how the your first year has been playing for a young coach in Sheldon Keefe. You had some older coaches and more experienced coaches over the last couple of years in your career. How has it been so far with Sheldon Keefe? And I've seen that he's putting the trust in you. You're playing, you know, some, you know, pretty meaningful minutes, and you've been out there for the last face-offs for some of the games. So how has it been playing for Sheldon Keefe?
It's been good. I think, you know, anytime you go to a new team or a new coach, there's always a feeling out process. I think early on in the season, you know, I was just getting my feet wet. And then the last, I'd say, five or six games, I've been relied on more, which is nice as a competitor. So it's been good. Just continue to build that trust and that relationship and go day by day with it.
Zach, what's it like coming to a new organization? It has to be a little bit funny when you hear they're like, all right, we want to get some toughness in our lineup. We're going to, you know, add someone with a little grit to their game, and then, you know, they sign you up and you come on over. Do you feel some, like, pressure to play a certain way to live up to that, or are you able to just sort of stick to your own game and let the way you naturally play come out?
I think I know what makes me effective. I've done it long enough now to kind of know that. As far as veteran leadership coming into the room, I'm just myself. I think it's we have a great group of guys in there that bring leadership, bring kind of that sandpaper, you know, guys that aren't afraid to have tough conversations or say tough comments, and everyone kind of goes about their day. So it's been good that way. And as far as from a playing standpoint, you know, you try to finish every check you can, but the game's so fast, you don't want to be running around too much, getting too out of position. So, you know, you pick your spots when to be physical, but, you know, the new age, NHL, it's more off of, you know, skating and having good angles. And when there's a chance to finish, you know, you do, but, you don't want to get caught too much out of position.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking to Zach Bogosian of the Toronto Maple Leafs. The word tough has been used a lot more this season around the Maple Leafs than we can recall for the last few seasons. And, you know, there's, you know, Wayne Simmonds on Ben Chiarot, tough. There's, you know, body check, tough. Some would even say, you know, showing up to work with a good attitude every day is tough, specifically in a pandemic. What does that word tough mean to Zach Bogosian? What's a tough hockey player mean right now?
Well, I think there's a certain presence that you can bring to work, to the games, to practice. There's a certain intensity that you can bring. I look at the word tough. It's not so much maybe about fighting anymore, but, you know, when the time calls for it, obviously guys are willing to do it, sticking up for themselves or the teammates. But at the end of the day, I think just being that guy that can compete and block those shots and making those courageous plays that maybe show up on the stat sheet a little bit, but it's more of the team morale and the camaraderie that goes into it, and what you're thinking about when you're doing it, putting the team first. So I think there's a bunch of different ways to describe it, but the first thing that pops out to my mind would be just a presence for sure.
Yeah, Bogo, I think leadership doesn't necessarily, you know, show up on the stat sheet here, but how big of a presence does a player like Joe Thornton bring to this dressing room? And I think the casual fan or even the media don't really understand how big of a presence and personality that Jumbo has for this Toronto Maple Leaf team. So how has he been so far, and what's your evaluation of him so far with this Toronto Maple Leafs team?
He's been great. It's tough not to talk about Jumbo with a huge smile on your face. He comes to the rink every day with high energy. You're right. It's tough to understand it when you don't see it every day. But, you know, by the time I got in the league, he was already so well established. And, you know, you got the young guys that are, you know, grew up watching him or wearing his number growing up, and he's a huge, huge part of the leadership group. But it's just his attitude is infectious. It's tough not to be upbeat and positive, you know, when he's around. So he's been awesome.
Zach, you haven't been around the league that long. I'm not going to make you sound like an old guy, but the league has changed since you come into the NHL, even, you know, I'm not sure exactly what year it was, 10 years ago plus, but the
young talent... 13 years long?
Okay. I didn't want to be, didn't want to offend you, but...
played when I played.
Yeah. So what have you seen change with the young guys coming into the league today? Because some of the all-stars in the division you're in right now between Pettersson and McDavid and some of the guys on your team, you know, what are some of the differences you see in the young guys now?
Well, I just think when you look back on, you know, kids now at a younger age, they're training more, they're skating more. There's so much skill coming to the league at such a young age, but you can just see that a lot of times maybe it takes a year or two for their body to develop a little bit more, but the skill set's already there and their body kind of catches up and they can be way more effective early on. I just think, you know, everyone's such a good skater, but just the stuff that kids can do with the puck now, even just watching World Juniors, I feel like if you go back and watch even, you know, my era of World Juniors, it just the stick handling and the plays weren't quite as sharp as what they are now. So I just think the way the kids' skills are have developed over the last few years and definitely the skating.
Zach, you played with Anthony Stewart.
Yeah.
Back in the Atlanta Thrashers days. If I asked you what your favorite Stewie story was, would you be able to tell it on the radio?
No, I will leave that for a one-on-one conversation, I guess. I did enjoy my time with Stewie. I had a chance to play with both Stewies, playing with his brother in Buffalo as well. So, two great guys, and I really enjoyed my time with both of them.
Stewie?
Boga, I wanted to ask, did you get the cup this year in the off season at all? And what did you do? Did you have a party? Did you? What was the plan with that? Because I know we're in the middle of a pandemic. So did you get the Stanley Cup?
No, we waited off. We're trying to just see kind of where things are at, potentially maybe next summer, just trying to be smart about it. I mean, I obviously could have had a really small get together, but I think that wouldn't be as enjoyable to do that with how many people have helped me throughout my career, and I want to be able to do it the right way. So hopefully the NHL and NHLPA can hopefully figure something out where we can do it the right way and be able to, you know, bring it to your hometown and have the proper get together. And there's a few things obviously that you would want to do in your hometown. So hopefully get some good news about that.
That's fantastic. Listen, we're out of time. Thanks, Zach, for stopping by. Continued success with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and hope you get that special day with the Stanley Cup and get that all sorted out. It's a crowning achievement for any hockey player, certainly. Thanks so much for doing this, Zach.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
There he is, Zach Bogosian of the Toronto Maple Leafs, former teammate of Anthony Stewart. What was he like as a teammate, Stewie? Because he would have been like
he was a hard-working guy, and he was a young career? Yeah, he was a young guy. I think it was his second year or third year, but he was a young, young guy, but he was always serious and he was always in shape. So that's the one thing that everyone always told me, you can control your fitness and your attitude. And he came in with a veteran presence and he just worked, you know, his butt off every single day. And to make the NHL as an 18-year-old, you got to come in with that work ethic and the positive attitude. So he was a great player, great career. And people are saying, well, you know, why did we sign this player or the Leafs sign this guy? He's a guy, he's a winner. He works hard. Every team needs a Zach Bogosian, wherever you're putting him in your lineup. He's a great player, great teammate.
He's always, Justin, I remember hearing the stories. I had one OHL general manager tell me once, like, here's a guy, Massena, New York. So he would cross the border every day and drive to Ottawa to work out with one specific trainer. Like every single day, that was his life. Up early, make that drive, cross the border, train all day, drive back. We always talk about dedication, Justin. That's a big one.
Yeah, guys like that, you love to see them rewarded with the Stanley Cup. You know, he made a couple of really memorable plays for them on the way to doing it. And, you know, hopefully he's a part of something big here in Toronto, too. They could use that veteran experience and leadership.
All right, on that we'll wrap up. Smith and Jones coming up at the top of the hour. Thanks to our guests. You just heard from Zach Bogosian of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Enjoying a little bit of a break since their Western trip. Back in action later on this week. The news around Leafland. As we get back into the minutia, Alex Kerfoot not skating with the main group. Nick Petan called up. Want to thank Sean Brown as well. Oilers analyst, former NHL defenseman as well. It's been defenseman day here on the program. Thought he was real good. Look forward to having Sean Brown back here on the show. And Stewie, I know you always like it when we get a little bit of Larry Mavity talk in. So I know you smile when you hear the stories about Mav. Smith and Jones next on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.